Hello, and welcome to the Prosus Naspers Results Media Call. My name is George. I'll be your coordinator for today's event. Please note this conference is being recorded, and for the duration of the call, your lines will be in listen-only mode. However, you will have the opportunity to ask questions at the end of the presentation. This can be done by pressing star one on your telephone keypad to register your question. If you require any assistance during the presentation, please press star zero, and you will be connected to an operator. I'd now like to turn the call over to your host today, Ms. Nicola McGowan, to begin today's conference. Please go ahead, ma'am.
Thank you, George. Good morning, everybody. Thank you for joining. I'm going to hand over to Bob and to Basil to take you through this morning's announcement. But just before I do, obviously, there's a lot of news that we put out this morning, a lot to get through. I'm not sure you guys might not have had too much of a chance to go through everything. So very happy to spend as much time on this call today on Q&A as is needed. And obviously, if you need anything else, then you just reach out to us throughout the morning. But thank you for joining. And with that, I'll hand over to Bob van Dijk, our CEO. Bob.
Yeah, Nicola, thanks a lot, and thanks, everybody, for joining. And as Nicola said, there's a lot out there, and there's not been a lot of time to digest. So what I thought we'd do is I'd just run through the highlights together with Basil, our CFO, and then we take time for questions. But as Nicola said, there's a lot to digest. If you have further questions, we have people available all morning and all afternoon to take you through the details as you are reading through everything. So today, we announced strong results and really good progress against the commitments that we made this time last year. And one of those commitments was to simplify the structure of the business. And today, we have proposed a transaction that will remove the cross-holding between Prosus and Naspers. And that is an excellent solution, actually with minimal cost, and it will make sure that we can continue the open-ended share repurchase program, which has delivered significant value to our shareholders and is continuing to deliver significant value to our shareholders. So Basil will go into a bit more detail on the transaction that we are announcing today. Let me talk about performance. So if I look at the financial year 2023 performance, the numbers show that we are delivering against our strategy, and we're making really good progress towards our targets. So if you look at our core four segments, they delivered revenue growth of 36%, which is well ahead of our peers in each segment. And growth has slowed a bit year on year, and that's obviously because the world around us has changed quite a bit from an economic point of view. It is that performance versus our peers that really shows the quality and the scale of our business. The second point to make is that we've taken significant action to achieve our goal of e-commerce profitability that we have committed to by the first half of financial year 25. So we're operating from a much leaner cost base after restructuring our costs across the business. And also, we're still growing, so you have the combined effects of a reduced cost base with continued revenue growth that will help us to reach that profitability goal. And the environment continues to be challenging, but we've been disciplined and targeted in our investments, and we've allocated our capital predominantly to our own stock and to the future growth of our current businesses. And the third point to make is around our open-ended share buyback, and that is doing exactly what it's supposed to do. So it's growing NAV per share while actually increasing our per share exposure to 10 cents. So it has delivered so far a 5% increase in net asset value per share from when we started it, and it has unlocked about $29 billion in shareholder value. And we expect the repurchase program to continue unchanged in the current financial year. And finally, our financial position remains really strong, and it's actually a strategic advantage for us. It provides us with the flexibility and the optionality we need to continue to grow our business. Before I hand over to Basil, I wanted to briefly touch on a topic that has become critical to the way we operate and is also pretty much permanently in the news today, which is artificial intelligence. We actually got started on AI very early and founded the Prosus AI Lab in 2018, and that was really done to accelerate and scale AI adoption across the group? And since we got an early start, it's really now part of the fabric of our operations, and we're deploying hundreds and hundreds of models across our portfolio that is now driving real business impact. Yeah, we always design our AI solutions with privacy and ethics in mind, but it's become a daily reality for all our businesses. And we have a unique setup, right? So we started early, we have scale and the ability to apply AI in the real world, and it's also enabled us to build really strong connections with important partners in the ecosystem. And that gives us access to the earliest and the earliest releases of the new models and the latest tools. And we were a very early adopter of generative AI, and we have numerous use cases in practice already of using this technology, particularly in food and ed tech. Obviously, our AI team has been exceptionally busy this year, and there's a lot more to come, and I actually look forward to talking more about it in the future. With that, maybe I'll hand over to Basil to talk us through the financial highlights and also to give you some more detail on the proposed simplification.
Thank you, Bob. Hello, everyone, and thanks for joining us today. So, folks, as Bob noted, on the top line, the group delivered strong revenue growth of 36% in the consolidated businesses in the four core segments of food delivery, classifieds, payments and fintech, and edtech. Each segment is growing significantly ahead of its peers, notably in a world starved of growth. E-commerce consolidated revenue was 16%, with the strong growth in the core segments partially offset by a decline in the group's e-tail business. While our trading loss increased 4% over the period, there was a significant improvement in profitability in the second half of the year. The group's consolidated trading profit margin improved 6% in the second half compared to the first half of the year. We have attacked costs throughout the financial year, and the benefits are evident in the second half of the year. We have turned the corner by accelerating profitability while still maintaining strong growth, and we take that momentum into the new financial year. Our balance sheet strengthened through the year, and we now have excellent liquidity. We have gross cash of some $15 billion. This is further bolstered by the Meituan shares received from Tencent at the end of March, which are valued at about $4.7 billion. Our free cash flow improved materially year on year to an outflow of only $30 million. This figure excludes OLX Autos, which we are in the process of exiting. So turning to our announcement this morning to simplify the group's structure. So many of you will be familiar with the share exchange in 2021, which right-sized both Prosus and Naspers for their respective stock exchanges. While the resulting cross-holding was necessary to sufficiently reduce Naspers' size on the Johannesburg Stock Exchange, it did add a layer of complexity for the group. The solution we've proposed today eliminates the cross-holding, allowing for the Naspers open-ended share repurchase program to continue uninterrupted. The Prosus open-ended share repurchase also continues and is not impacted by the elimination of the cross-holding. So touching on the mechanics, both Naspers and Prosus will issue capital in their own stock to the existing free float shareholders. The Naspers and Prosus entities won't participate in each other's issuance. In the final step, Prosus will sell its very small residual holding in Naspers, therefore unwinding the cross-holding. These steps ensure Naspers' ownership of Prosus aligns with its current economic interest of 43%. The remaining 57% ownership in Prosus will continue with the Prosus free float, whose ownership also aligns with its existing economic interest. Ownership in Naspers will remain with the free float and the A shareholders. So Naspers will remain JSE listed and a South African domiciled and tax resident company. It will retain its 70% voting interest in Prosus, and therefore Prosus will remain a subsidiary of Naspers while also being listed on the Amsterdam Stock Exchange. With that, I'll pass back to Bob.
Yeah, thanks, Bas. And we are about to open for questions, so get ready for that. But I just thought I'd take a minute to talk about our priorities going forward to make sure they're clear for all. So one, we're maintaining our strategy and we're completely committed to achieving e-commerce profitability during the first half of financial year 25, while we will maintain above peer growth. So it's both. We get to profitability and we'll continue to grow ahead of our peers. The second piece is that we will continue our open-ended share repurchase program, and that will actually compound value creation over time. The third priority is to better evidence and to crystallize value from our portfolio. And fourth, we will continue to support Tencent, and we believe very firmly that Tencent has a bright future ahead. And fifth, as we talked about, and as Basil talked about, we plan to eliminate the cross-holding and thereby really simplifying the structure of the group. So that's what we have to say. I suggest now we open up the call for questions. George, would you please remind the participants how they can ask a question, and then we can go into them.
Most certainly, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Please also ensure your mute function is not activated in order to let your signal reach your equipment. So that's star 1 to ask a question. And if your question has been answered, you may remove yourself from a queue by pressing star 2. Our first question today is coming from Karl Gernetzky, calling from News 24. Please go ahead, sir. Your line is open.
Good morning. Thank you very much. Two quick questions. So if I understand it correctly, the removal of this cross-holding structure will entail the issuing of new shares. Can you please just give me any indication of just, will this increase the number of shares in issue, some potentially kind of push back against what you're trying to do in terms of the share repurchase program? And then secondly, can you please just give a brief explanation on why Naspers is not able to continue with this under SA company rules? Is this to do with the fact that the process is a subsidiary? If you don't mind just briefly explaining why Naspers is hobbled, the process isn't. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for those questions. If you don't mind, I'll ask Basil to answer the second question. And it is quite technical, but he can answer that very well. In brief, to your first question, yes, Naspers will issue a significant number of shares to effectively dilute Prosus out of the Naspers shareholder register. But at the same time, when we do that, we will consolidate the number of shares so that we actually will end up with a healthy number of shares. And it doesn't really change the economic value that is traded, right? So, the effective shareholding of the current NASPER shareholding in Prosus actually stays the same. So the reality is that yes, there will be an increase in share count. We will also then reduce the share count again, and the effective outstanding value will stay the same. So there's really no offsetting of the effect of the buyback in any way. And Basil, would you mind answering the second question, or maybe you have something to add on my answer?
Thanks, Bob. Just to add on to Bob's answer on the first. So, Carl, these are capitalization issues, right, to all existing shareholders. So it's not issues for cash. We're not putting new stock into the market. We're not diluting shareholders. So that's important to bear in mind. Then why can't Naspers continue with the buyback? Naspers has had, because of the cross-holding, Naspers has to buy back its shares using a South African subsidiary. Under the South African Companies Act, a subsidiary of a listed company can only own 10% of the stock of its parent. And at some point, Naspers will actually hit that limit. So now, by removing the cross-holding, it no longer needs to purchase shares through a subsidiary and can do so directly.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, once again, if you have any questions, please press star 1 at this time. So star 1 for questions. We do not appear to have any further questions coming at this time, sir, or gentlemen.
Okay.
I'm very sorry to interrupt you, sir. What just came in, we could take it now. I'm very sorry to interrupt you. It's from Promit Morkeri G of Reuters. Please go ahead.
Can you hear me now?
Yep, we can hear you, Promit.
Yes, okay. So my phone was on mute. Okay. So what I want to ask is something very simple, basically. Currently, what is the discount that Naspers and Prosus trade to their holding in Tencent? And how much was it just exactly 1 year ago when you started the buyback program?
Basil, you have the numbers top of mind, I believe.
Yes. So the way we measure the discount is not to the holding of Tencent, but to the net asset value. So prior to starting, the discount was close to 60% combined. It's now in the high 30s. So since starting the buyback, we've actually reduced the discount by about 18%.
Okay.
And it's created $29 billion of value.
Okay. And is there some kind of an estimate or some kind of a plan that by when do you think that you can practically be able to reduce this discount to almost zero, basically?
Yeah, that is a good but very difficult question to answer. I think the discount is sort of a combination of factors that has traded up and down over time. It has a lot to do with how capital market thinks. There's elements of if there are issues in China, typically there are impacts. If there are issues in South Africa, there's typically impacts. So it's extremely difficult to say what causes it exactly. We have started the open-ended buyback. It has had a huge impact, and actually, for every day that it continues, we see value creation that should over time reduce the discount. But there's other parts to it, right? There's some of our business. I think we spoke about that earlier this morning. That make a loss, and shareholders say, well, I find it hard to place a value on a loss-making business, so you don't give it full credit, like. We intend to continue the open-ended buyback. We get the businesses to profitability. And I think those factors will be really important in getting the discounts to narrow and getting full value for our shares. In addition, we're simplifying the group, which will make things better. And we are also working on crystallizing value that can either be an IPO or a sale or a merger of our businesses to show the real value that they have. So all those factors combined, I think, are really powerful steps to create value for shareholders. How and when exactly that will come out is a very good question that is extremely difficult to answer.
Bob, I would add that from a zero discount is an unrealistic ambition. So companies that own several assets will always trade to a discount to the net asset value because there's often taxes payable in realizing the assets and distributing to their shareholders. Right, and other friction points. So zero isn't the right ambition. But as Bob laid out, we have clear plans on things that we can control to help continue drive that discount down.
Yes, thanks, Basil. Thank you very much. Thanks, Bob.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, once again, if you have any questions or follow-up questions, do press star one. We'll now go to Katie Prescott, calling from The Times. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thanks very much this morning. I just wondered if you could expand a little bit on what you're seeing in the market at the moment in terms of challenges. Just give us a sense of what you're seeing in the macro economy and when things might improve. And then finally, if you wouldn't mind commenting on Tencent in particular and what that's telling you about the Chinese market.
Sure. Thanks for the question. I think what we are seeing is actually a very dynamic environment. So on one hand side, we've seen inflation is still a real factor, and we've seen slowdown in growth rates, which interestingly, I think impact the real economy quite a bit. But if you look at the our e-commerce businesses, we find that sort of the natural momentum and growth that we have is only impacted to a limited extent, right? So our core e-commerce businesses have grown around 35%, while I guess economic growth is around the 1-2%. So we see the momentum of our business actually outpace any macro impact in just about every business we have. So I would say e-commerce growth, yeah, it is a little lower than it was last year. It's still very, very strong. There's some macro impact, but it's limited. I think the main impact we've seen over the last year has been around increasing cost of capital, right? As interest rates have gone up, cost of capital has gone up, and that has really impacted the value of earlier stage businesses. If you will, businesses that are still requiring capital and making operating losses have seen their valuations significantly impacted, particularly in public markets. So if you look at, for example, the food delivery, listed food delivery businesses have had a tough year, and a number of other sort of earlier stage listed companies that are not yet making a profit, they have been impacted a lot. In the end, we are long-term shareholders, so for us it is not something we worry particularly about. I think the rate environment will stabilize over time, and the most important thing for us is operational progress, and that's reflected in our revenue growth. And I think our reaction to it has been to really change our trajectory on profitability that we've spoken a bit about earlier, right? So if you know that cost of capital has gone up, you basically adjust your spending so you deliver profitability earlier, which should lead to a better valuation of the business. And maybe to add one more point, I think the correction that we've seen in public market valuations has been quite strong for earlier stage businesses. Actually, private markets, we've seen much less of that correction. So if you look in sort of growth stage private businesses, the valuations have come down in some instances, but in many cases, companies are instead trying to preserve cash and not raise new capital. So you see that valuation impact be more limited in private growth businesses. Then to Tencent, Tencent announced results a few weeks ago. I think they were really well received. I think what we're seeing is that a lot of the business are showing healthy growth again. Tencent, like us, has also made significant interventions in their cost base, and it is now benefiting. So growth has picked up pretty much in all the business lines, in games, in their financial services, in advertising, and that's pleasing to see. And with a smaller cost base, that should lead to good progress. And again, I think we see clear top line growth. We see improved profitability because of cost measures, which gives a lot of confidence that Tencent is well positioned for the time ahead. Now, China macro is growing actually quite nicely. It's coming back to sort of the 5% goal. And we believe that combination of a pretty healthy China macro growth plus a good operational progress plus cost control actually sets up Tencent really well for the year ahead.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, ma'am. Ladies and gentlemen, once again, if you have any questions or follow-up questions, press star 1 at this time. As a final reminder, please do press star 1 if you have a question.
Yeah, just I think if there's no further questions, what I want to do is basically thank everybody for jumping on the call. I hope this was helpful and gives you a bit of background to put all the information we put out there into perspective. I do realize that this is the time of year where we put out a lot of information always, but in addition to that, we're announcing a major transaction that transforms the group. So I can imagine that once all of that has landed, you may want to get some further contacts and have further discussion, and the team is available. Just reach out to Nicola or Charlie or anybody from the team, and we're very happy to give you more context as you work through all the material we put out. So thank you very much, and look forward to talking again.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, that will conclude today's presentation. Thank you for your attendance. You may now disconnect. Have a good day and goodbye.